That's what you do when you're running for the bus, right? Or a train or a plane or something. Now take your Bibles and turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Be looking at verses 23 through 29. This is known as a faith book, the book of Heroes. Hebrews 11, chapter 11. Living an effective life is our goal as Christians, isn't it? It should be. We should want to live a full life in Christ. And when you look at the book of Heroes here in Hebrews, that's exactly what they did. They weren't perfect. They're just kind of like us. Ordinary people doing extraordinary things for the Lord, or activities and achievements and so forth. So follow on with me as we begin with verse 23. By faith. Was we singing about that a while ago? I think some of the songs that had that word faith in it. By faith, when he was born, when Moses was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that he was a beautiful child. And they were not afraid of the king's command or edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up or got up in years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king or the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen, which is God Almighty. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, so that he who destroyed the firstborn would not touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as though they were passing through dry land, and the Egyptians, when they attempted it, bit the dust, or they were drowned. That's what it says. But that's what happened. They were annihilated. Hebrews is about winters. Everybody like winters? There were some winters last night, wasn't they, Steve? Yeah, it was orange, wasn't it? But now, if it's God's Hall of Fame of faith, this chapter, and these, as I said, were ordinary people, ordinary heroes who were doing extraordinary achievements for God. Again, they weren't perfect, neither are we. But God uses imperfect people, doesn't he? Because that's all he has to work with here on earth, isn't it? Imperfect people. But he wants us to, well, Matthew chapter 5:48 said we are to be perfect because Christ himself was perfect. That means that's what we are to strive for. That means our heart has to be bent towards him, that we're walking in unity, striving for perfection in our lives. We want to be complete in Christ Jesus. And the purpose of this message is to encourage you, encourage our congregation to strive for that perfection. So this morning, we look at Moses, who was one of the greatest in the Old Testament. Because he accomplished many things for the Lord. Moses got the Ten Commandments from God. Actually got them from him twice, didn't he? Because he broke the first set. He got mad. So that's why he wasn't perfect. He got mad. And by getting mad and striking the rock, he didn't get to go into the promised land. God took him home. Of course, we don't even know where he is today here on earth that they buried him. But God probably just took him, didn't he? Just like he did Enoch. So don't pay to get mad, does it? Well, it says, be angry and sin not, like Jesus did. And he led the children of Israel out of the captivity. He wrote the first five books of the Bible. He led the children of Israel out of the captivity, which was in slavery in Egypt. So why was God able to use Moses so effectively? I believe it was because Moses settled some basic questions in his life. And we just read about them a while ago in verses 23-29. It's like, who am I? Moses said, who am I? In verse 24, what are my choices? Verse 25, what is really important? Verse 26, what are my goals? And I do believe that Moses was able to answer all of those questions with his life that he lived. Because he was a man of character. He was a man of integrity. He could not suppress his conscience. So he made a decision that cost him 80 years of his life. The decisions that he made cost him 80 years of his life. Now, most of us can't wait that long, can we? 80 years of our life and making a lot of decisions that we make, what are we going to do? We need to do it now. But people lived longer back then. Of course, we have people who live over 100 today. In verse 24, I want you to circle this. Refused. You circle that. The word in the Greek literal means reject, deny, or totally disown. That's what that word means in the Greek term. And Moses cut himself off from the promising career as an Egyptian. He refused to live a lie. That's when he did it. Instead, he wanted to do what God had made him to do. And then in verse 25, look at that with me. Circle the word choosing. The word literally means to select or to decide. So he selected God's way. He decided not to go the Egyptian way or live their lifestyle. He chose God. Because God chose him when he was what? When a baby. God had something in store. I mean, you know, Moses is no different than you and me. God has a plan for every one of us. We just got to find out what it is and select it and decide that we're going to live it for God. God wants men and women, boys and girls, to decide and select what they're going to do in life. We've got to make a choice. We have to make a decision. Is it going to be God or is it going to be this world? And if we choose the world, we've made the bad choice or a wrong choice. We choose God, we have everything to gain, nothing to lose. And he deals with these questions in these verses. So we're going to look at these this morning. Three key effective living. And the first principle of an effective life is to accept responsibility for your life. I have to accept responsibility for my own life and the consequences of making bad choices or making bad decisions. And you know, God has given us a brain up here to work with. The most complicated device that's ever been created. Man cannot create something as intellectual or complicated as a brain. But God has orchestrated it in such a way that it controls everything in our body. And it should control every thought and everything that goes into our heart. If it does, and everything that does that's good and positive will come out that way. And that's what God desires in our life. So the Bible teaches that people who accept responsibility for their own lives tend to lead effective lives. Now in verse 24 again, looking at that, we see Moses refusing. He refusing. And in verse 25, we see Moses choosing. So there's a principle here. As I looked and tried to interpret what the scriptures are saying here, the writer of Hebrews, the negative is followed by a positive. It's kind of like a battery. You got a negative and a positive. If you cross them, you got trouble, right? But you need both of them. And negative, you know, keeps us in line and helps create the problems that align or come by obstacles in our life. Hopefully, eventually will lead us to the positive side of our living for Christ. It helps build our faith. That's when we're in the valley. Sometimes we want to be on the mountaintop, and that's the positive side of our life. So God never says, don't do this, don't do that, don't drink, don't smoke, don't cuss, don't chew. He didn't say that, does he? Directly. But people do it, don't they? Is that right? If you ask somebody, say, well, it's right for me. Well, it's not right for me, though. So, you know, we have to make a choice. We have to decide what is right for me as a Christian. Not because I'm a pastor, because I'm a Christian. I have to decide how to live my life in the presence of God, because He's always watching. He watches and knows everything that we do before we even do it, before we even think it. So if we know that, then don't think it and don't do it, right? We should never do it. He says, whenever you do something out of your life, put something positive in to replace it. So whatever negative you take out of your life, put something back in positive. That's what the Bible teaches us. You see refusing, and then you see choosing. He refused, but then he chose. He chose God's way. And Christianity is not negative religion of church of don'ts. It's not. In verse, pay no attention up there right now. My finger got happy here. Too quick. In verse 23, God chose Moses as a baby. But when Moses grew up, in verse 25, it says he chose God when he came of age. When he came of the age of knowing right from wrong, the right choices to make, decisions to make, he chose God. And God has chosen you. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that you're alive? Aren't you glad that you were born? Don't you know, more than that, aren't you glad that you have a life in eternity in heaven one of these days? That this is not the life that's going to be permanent here on earth? We have a great life, a perfect life. Nothing here on earth is perfect, never will be, as long as people live here. Right? Because we've messed this earth up on the bad decision, bad choices. The world itself, the people itself. Now, So we have to choose Him. We have to choose God. And as a young person, if you're a young person here this morning, it is important that you make that choice at an early age, who you're going to live for, who you're going to choose to help you in this life, because nobody else is going to do it. God will help you. And there's only two choices on the shelf. Two choices on the shelf. You can pull them off. Pleasing God or pleasing self. Those are the two choices. And I know you're sitting there and saying, well, I choose God. But do we always choose God in everything that we do? Are we choosing God to help us with every decision that we make, whether it's personally or with our family or with our job or whatever it is that we face each day? Are we really choosing God to help us make the right decision, the right choice? Or do we wait until we done trip and fell on our face and mashed our nose a few times and say, oh, God, I should have asked you about this? Ask Him first. You know, a day or so ago, I was around a group of pastors and so forth, and some church leaders and so forth, and something was said or done, and then somebody said, well, we should ask God first. And I said, bingo. That's right. Then we would have known. Now, looking at verse 24, when did He make His choice? In verse 24, it says, when He had grown up. And one of the marks of maturity in the life is when you accept responsibility for your own decisions. And that's what Moses did. See, you cannot blame somebody else for the direction of your life. We might try, but we can't do that. They may be instrumental in moving you in that direction, but you have the right and you have the choice to decide for yourself what is best and what is right in the sight of God for your life. You see? And you cannot live off somebody else's spiritual commitment. I can't live off of my grandfather's spiritual commitment, which was a good one, as far as I know. As far as I know, his heart was right with God. Always was. I never did see anything in wrong or different about him. But I can't live off his spiritual direction or commitment. You have to make that decision yourself. And Moses, when he grew up, then he chose. See, he made an act of responsibility. See, the fact of the matter is, nobody can ruin your life ultimately except you. And I hear it all the time. If it wasn't for so-and-so, I wouldn't have done this. If it wasn't for so-and-so, I would have made this choice. The fact of the matter is, nobody can ruin your life ultimately except you. See, even Satan can't. Who was it said, devil made me do that? Yeah, Flip Wilson. Now, we can't blame Satan for that. He doesn't have any power over a Christian. God loves you. So ultimately, the only person who can totally permanent mess up your life is who? That was weak. You or me. We didn't do that. So if you and I want to be effective in our life, we have to be ourselves and accept responsibility. And that's what God wants us to do. Like Moses did, you make some choices. No matter what happened to you in the past, you have the freedom to choose how you're going to respond. You can say, I'm going to be bitter, or I'm going to be better. See, your happiness will be determined by your character in life. And what did I say a while ago that Moses had? He had character and he had integrity. Those are the two qualities that he had. He had both of those. Be yourself. Be responsible. Accept responsibility for your own conditions. Moses did, and he came out for the good. Even though he was leading over 2 million Jews, he had a big responsibility, didn't he? And he even had to wander around out in the wilderness with them for 40 years because of bad choices. But God blessed him. Uh-oh. Establish values for your life. You have to settle this issue. What is really important? This is not something you decide carelessly. You give it serious thought. You give it consideration. That's what the Bible says. What is really important to me? And I'm sure that Moses a lot of time would sit and say, what's really important to me? When he was there in Egypt, and when he was among the Egyptians and the Jews and so forth, as a young man, he was saying, what's really important to me? And then that was pretty easy for him to answer. He said, it's God. It's him who I'm going to put first. He's what's important to me. See, you give it serious thought. You give it consideration. What's really important to me? This is a thing that Moses did. He clarified his views, values, and he thought it out. In verse 26, circle the word considering. Considering. The word literally means to weigh it in balance, consider the option, evaluate the worth, consider value. See, this is so important. So I want you to notice the value of the system, value system in Moses. They're so important that we can remember him today. That's why he's in the hero section of the Bible, Hebrews chapter 11. If Moses had not made these decisions, we wouldn't be here today talking about him. We wouldn't be talking about him. But they were so important. He made the right decision. God made sure they were placed in the Word of God as an example for us to follow. See, he would be some mummy in King Tut's tomb, wouldn't he? If he hadn't made the right choice, we'd say, Moses who? Who was he? That's what we'd be saying. But God made sure that he was placed here in the heroes of faith. See, Moses decided three things. First of all, God's purpose is more important than popularity. See, he said, I'm not going to be called Pharaoh's son's daughter. Oh, the popularity of that would have been pretty high, wouldn't it? It would. But he said, no way. And then secondly, God's people are more valuable than pleasures. See, he could stay right there in Egypt, had everything. He was a second in command. He had it all. He had popularity. He had power. He had possessions. He had pleasure. All those things would have been offered to him. He said, no. And that's like us saying no to the world today of all of the things that they offer us today. And the third, God's peace is more valuable than possession, verse 26. So it's amazing to me that Moses gave up the very three things that most people spend their entire life trying to accomplish and achieve. Why? Why did he do that? Why did he reject power, pleasures, and possessions? In verse 26b, look at that with me. It says, the reward. He was looking ahead. See, he wasn't looking at the present. He wasn't looking at the past when he was young because he'd already made that decision. He was going to choose God. He was looking ahead. He was looking at his responsibility. He took responsibility for himself. He made good choice and right decisions most of all the time, except for maybe one or two. Have we only made one or two mistakes in our life? Probably not. You probably couldn't even list it on a sheet of paper, could you? I remember when I was in the, fourth grade. I don't know what I did, but I had to write it down on paper, I think 200 times. It took me a while to do it. Did I do it a second time? No, I didn't. I learned my lesson the first time after I had to write it. And of course, I wasn't the only one. There's other kids. I don't know if you teachers make kids do that anymore. If they say something or do something wrong, you got to write it down. Or if you forget something, forget a word, write it down, and you won't forget it. Well, the reward, what he was looking for. A statement I hope you'll catch. This statement is, your happiness is determined by your character. Your character is determined by your choices. Your choices are determined by your values. Your values are determined by your vision, what you have your eyes on. Set your eyes. If you set them upon the Lord, he'll help you with it as well. See, Moses had his value right because he had his vision right. Just like Rand, he has vision now. We can see physically, but to see the Lord is wanting us to see spiritually. He wants our vision, our hearts, to be cleared that we can see in his direction. But if we have all the world's concerns and possessions and pleasures and all the other stuff clouding up our spiritual sight, then we're not going to see how God is moving and where he wants to take us in our life. Well, Moses, he had values, right? Because he had his vision. All right, the third thing. Maintain vision for your life. See, Moses continually visualized his goal. He was persistent. He wasn't a procrastinator. He focused his attention. And if you want to be successful, you got to be able to focus your attention on something. See, he constantly kept it before him. And some of you may have lost sight of your vision. And that happens sometimes. We started out right, but now we have forgotten what our vision was or what our goal in life is. And hopefully it's the Lord. But look at verse 27 again. By faith, I want to kind of paraphrase something right here. But it says by faith. See, vision is a matter of faith. Vision is a matter of faith. Seeing is a matter of faith. Seeing with our spiritual eyes. See, Moses was seeing with his eyes of faith. Why? He left Egypt. And he persevered because he saw him who is invisible. Circle seeing. In verse 27. Him who is invisible. Who's that? Who's invisible? God. See, that's who he had his eyes on. Even though he couldn't see God, he experienced God, right? If you've ever experienced God, you'll never forget it because of the power that he makes and the impressions he makes on your life. The Apostle Paul never forgot the experience that he had with the Lord. He even called him Lord. See, he saw him who is invisible. Moses never took his eyes off of the goal. He never did. He never took his eyes off of the goal. See, there's enormous problems in the purpose of God that God had given Moses in his life. How are you going to transport 2 million Jews out of one country across a desolate piece of land in the world without food, without water, and get them into the promised land? How are you going to do that? 2 million. You think about 2 million people trying to get them all to think alike and try to get them all in a straight line. You think about that. 2 million people. Well, you could line them up. They'd be here to Madison, wouldn't you? You'd have to, you'd say, hey, tell your next neighbor, we're doing this, doing that. How are you going to convince Pharaoh, who has these 2 million slaves, to let them go? And God said, you go tell him, let my people go. But he persevered because he focused his goals on his goals and not his problems or his circumstances. You see, he left all that up to God. That's what he did. He left it up to God. And when Moses was a young man, God gave him a goal. You are going to be the deliverer of an entire nation. That's what he told him at the burning bush, wasn't he? He said, you're going to deliver the whole nation. It was 80 years in coming before Moses was able to take his people right up to the edge of the promised land. 80 years. You think about that. It's a long time. How would you like to wait 80 years for fulfilling of a goal? You might think, well, my here I am. My goal is already behind me because I'll never reach that point in my life that I'll reach it. Accomplish that, but you can. You may be thinking that, but you can. See, how would you? Well, just thinking about 40 years that Moses spent waiting in the wilderness. All the time, all the things were getting worse in Egypt. And I can imagine every day Moses saying, Lord, it's me again, when he was praying. Lord, it's me again. And God would say, yes, Moses. Yes, Moses. And Lord, is it time yet? Can we get this project on the road? Can we get it going? Can you give it to me? Let's move a little bit faster. And the Lord says, not yet. Moses would say, but Lord, don't you know my people are dying? It's not getting better in Egypt. It's getting worse. Come on, God. Let's get with it. Let's get with the program. God says, it's not time yet. For 14,600 days, I figured that up, Moses would say, is it time? Is it time? And God says, no, it's not time yet. See, Moses had to wait as well. See, God's not going to give you or me anything at all until we're ready to receive it. And see, Israel was not ready to receive it. See, Moses knew what his goal was. He had to convince 2 million Jews to get on the same thought wave and focus on the same vision and goal, and that was what? The promised land. Something that God had already given them. They just had to claim it, but they had to get their hearts right. They had to see God's vision, their goal. That's something they wanted in the back of their mind, but they were not willing to take responsibility for their own actions, for their own self. So God held back. And God may be holding back a lot of things on you as an individual or us as a church until we're ready to receive it. The vision God is willing to give us here at Versailles Baptist Church will happen if we wait and trust and obey in the meanwhile. Waiting. One of their greatest tests of faith is how long can you wait for an answered prayer? How long can you wait for healing? How long can you wait for a goal to be met? How the Lord will answer your prayer in His time to strengthen your faith. That's how God will. He doesn't do it to weaken you, but to strengthen you, to trust Him, to have more faith, to trust Him more. See, God wants us to trust Him. And when we trust Him, we'll see things in our lives, things in the church, things in our community, just unfold with numerous blessings. Pretty sad when we only have 17 people at Westport Camp for our annual association meeting. Sad. When we probably should have, of all the churches, 500, 600, combination of all the people within our 14 churches. See, God is waiting for you and me and churches and Christians to step up to the plate. And when he throws the ball, we got our eyes set on that goal, and we hit it and see the blessings flow. That's an analogy. But see, that's what God is wanting. See, he's pitching us. He's pitching to us. He's giving us all kind of blessings. He's giving us all kind of information, all kind of things he's unveiling before us. And we got to keep our eyes focused on it. If we're going to do well in any sport, you got to keep your eyes focused, right? You got to concentrate. Your attention's got to be on what you're doing. Our heart's got to be in the right place if God is to use you and me for his kingdom. And that's his desire. If you're here today and don't know him personally, that's the first step, salvation. I pray for you this morning as I pray. If you're here this morning and don't know Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, and if your decision-making hadn't been as well, the choices you've been making recently or in your life hasn't been where God wants them, I pray for that as well. Moses refused, but he chose God. He refused everything else and chose God as number one in his life. Our Father God, we praise your holy name this morning. We thank you for the examples that you give us, like Moses and Abraham, and in the New Testament, the disciples, and those who chose you over everything else. Some of them, it cost them their lives. The 11 disciples, it cost them their lives. But they chose you. And now they have the benefits of heaven. Their reward. That's what Moses was looking for. He had his sights and his vision set on the reward, the future things that he would receive by being faithful and committed to the cause of Christ. Lord, whatever decisions need to be made today, Lord, make it clear and plain to each and every one of us that we step out, we know exactly what we're doing and how you're leading us and the choices we need to make to please you, to help us to understand your great love and the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ. We thank you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Our hymn of invitation this morning is hymn number 355, Trusting Jesus. May we stand as we sing.